All right, while you're standing, we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and just a short portion that we will read here. Thank God. We welcome Drew and Tim today. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord with us. Praise God. Chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Thank the Lord that we have a kingdom which cannot be moved. All right, let's read it together, please, 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Praise God. Now, that sounds almost judgmental, and certainly we want to keep in mind that our God is a judge, but there's an aspect there that I think is worthy of looking at because of how the Lord can minister in our midst. God bless you. You may be seated. Much in the word of the Lord that bears examination and investigation. And it's easy to make a cursory look and not understand and close it up and say, well, that's for another time, another era, another situation. I can remember as a young boy looking into the Word of the Lord, and then as a teenager looking into the Word of the Lord and finding much there that I didn't understand, but I'm glad I acted on what I did understand. So you don't have to understand the whole thing to be able to exercise your faith. You can do what the Lord requires in your life and thank God for the work that He's able to provide. Praise God. Now, fire, in the destructive sense, is fairly final. I mean, it changes things physically, chemically, and so many ways. And unfortunately, California is still burning. Oregon and Washington with their fire experience. You know, you read about it in the news, and you hear the reports and so on, and it's distant. And then when your loved ones are in the path of the fire, or their air quality is compromised and poor and so on because of all of the smoke and so on, then you pay a little more attention and you're a little more in tune with what has been going on. And certainly in this year, it's been that way. Fortunately, praise God, the Kenai Peninsula was not involved in any extensive fire situation, a few of them, of course, but thank God, nothing like we had had before. And I'm so very thankful for the help of the Lord to minister in our midst. But now, this passage, it almost seems, verse 28, to give the positive aspects of a kingdom which cannot be moved, and we have grace, we can serve God, and all of those aspects. And then verse 29 almost seems like it turns a page and says, our God is a consuming fire. And again, it oftentimes, at least in my thinking, that is perceived in a judgmental aspect. But the fire of God can be delivering as well. It can be liberating. And the blessing of the Lord can be there. Now, obviously, there's the aspect of the judgment as well. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, when the mistake was made, the wrong choices were enacted, and it wasn't just their thoughts, it was their actions, because thoughts often become actions. And the Lord help us to be able to order our thoughts, order our steps, and be directed the way that God would have us to be. But we know Adam and Eve made the wrong choice, and as a result, an angel with a flaming sword, escorted them out of the garden and kept them from returning. And we know the aspect that is there being judgmental, and the problem that is there, and that flaming sword turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So in one way, there was a mercy of God that was extended because the Lord did not want them in their sinful state, in their fallen state, to partake of the tree of life and continue in that way for the rest of their being. Thank God he devised a way that things can be changed and chains can be broken. Deliverance can be experienced. Liberty can be obtained. And the blessing of the Lord could be there in such a tremendous way. Thank God. Lot and his family, as they lived in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, experienced hardship. They had to deal with the aspects of unrighteousness and sinful living and lifestyles that were contrary to the Word of God, and the compromise that came to their children, and the concern for their grandchildren, no doubt. The Scripture calls Lot righteous, and so we believe he tried to remain committed. He tried to obtain a place where he could serve God. And the deliverance that came was not perhaps in the way that he had thought, but the Lord delivered him from the oppression of the filthy conduct of the wicked in those cities. Fire and brimstone fell. And yet, that was the way that he was delivered out of that sinful culture. Abraham prayed, and the Lord brought deliverance. I'm thankful that Abraham continued to pray. He didn't give up on one aspect of prayer and feeling like, that's okay, that's good, that's good enough. No, he kept on praying. He kept on believing God. And as a result, the angels came and warned. Even when Lot lingered, even when Lot was reluctant to leave the city, even when he hesitated and he held back, thank God, the angels grabbed a hold of his hand and more or less pulled him out of the city. And so Lot and his wife and his two daughters left the city, and fire and brimstone fell. Thank God there can be a deliverance. Amen. Unfortunately, we know the story includes Lot's wife looking back and becoming a pillar of salt. And one of the shortest messages then that were born out of the Word of God, of that experience, out of that happening, remember Lot's wife. And the Lord speaking those words because he wants us to be able to continue to look forward, to look ahead to what the Lord has for us, not looking back to what was, but thank God, knowing the power of God is there. Now, fire fell at the command of the Lord, and sometimes it was a blessing, sometimes it was a confirmation, and other times we know it was a judgment. I'm amazed to look at the end of one chapter in the book of Leviticus and the beginning of another chapter. And both times, fire fell from the Lord, but different results that came. In Leviticus 9 and 24, there came a fire out from before the Lord, consumed. Our God is a consuming fire, and this is an example of it. Consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. What an amazing event as they stood there before the altar. They saw the sacrifice being put forth, and then fire came from the Lord and consumed what was upon the altar. In stark contrast is the beginning of Leviticus rather, chapter 10, when the sons of Aaron, who should have known better, Nadab and Abihu, took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Now, that seems to be the proper way to bring forth worship to the Lord and putting incense thereon. And that was part of their symbolic prayer arising. But the bad thing was they offered strange fire. In other words, they did what was not expected. They did what was not appropriate. They did not follow through in the way that they should have. And fire again went out from the Lord. But this time it devoured them, Nadab and Abihu, and they died before the Lord. See, there's got to be an awareness of what we want from the Lord and what we desire from Him and be able to walk with Him in obedience to His Word. Not just my own thinking, not just what culture thinks is correct, not just following through even with a religion, but what does God's Word say? That's my focus. That's my desire. That's where I've got to be able to do the work of the Lord. Amen. And being on guard against just a haphazard idea of the, oh, well, it doesn't matter. God's a God of love. God's a God of mercy, and thank God He is. But I've also got to be aware He has given His Word in direction. He has given His Word in the way that I need to follow. Amen. And obeying His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And thank God, keeping those commandments is not because we're afraid of some judgment that's going to fall upon us. And we certainly want to avoid the judgment, but thank God our love is a strong motivation. Our love for the Lord is with the impetus and the incentive, and thank God we can follow through in that regard. But we have example after example in the Word of God of those who did not follow through in the way they should have. There was a man named Korah that the Bible tells about in the time of Moses and Aaron. And he spoke against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Now, it would be one thing to just recognize that, Moses and Aaron are leading us, they're guiding us, they're providing for us, and so on. But it was spiritual leadership as well that they spoke against, and that created the problem. God told them to bring their censers with incense to the door of the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord appeared as they did so. And Moses, warned of God, told the congregation to step back, separate yourself, and don't touch anything of Korah's company and Korah's people. You see, God's judgment was about to fall. God's judgment was about to come against that rebellion. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his company. And fire consumed the 250 who gathered together to offer incense and to burn their incense before the Lord as he instructed them. Fire fell and consumed them. Now that would seem harsh. That would seem difficult. That would seem to be an extreme judgment. But the symbolism here is the brass censers that was left that fell to the ground as the fire consumed the 250. All of those brass censers were gathered together and hammered into one piece and made a covering upon the altar. And the symbolism is, the message is, put rebellion on the altar. Rebellion has to be consumed upon the altar of repentance, or it will lead to the fires of judgment. Now, I'm thankful that we can look at fire for the devil. I'm thankful that fire is included in the devil's future. I'm thankful that fire is where the devil is going to end up. Amen. He will be tormented forever with fire and brimstone. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That seems to be a fitting end for the devil and his deceit, who comes with destruction, who comes with a devouring of faith and relationships with God. He tries to pull people down, tries to pull people away. I'm thankful that's where he's going to end up. I enjoy reading those passages of Scripture. Revelation 20 and 10, that devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Praise God. The one who torments others, the one who torments people, the one who torments and deceives and brings down into depression and despair those who have doubts instead of faith. Thank God, there is going to be a huge payback. Amen. And thank the Lord, there is that aspect that we know. Now, Jesus foretold Satan's suffering in Matthew 25 and 41, and this is real important. This is very important for us to understand and recognize, not only that everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, but to understand there's an absence of you and I. Everlasting fire was not prepared for you and me. It was not designed for those who the Lord would want to save. It is prepared for the devil and his angels. And thank God that that's where they're going to end up, in everlasting fire, death and hell cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. But oh, there's the promise for you and I to be in the presence of the Lord, to be directed into his power, into his goodness, and into his presence. Thank God that there can be a change. There can be a difference. There can be a deliverance. There can be a liberating, hallelujah, in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Excuse me, Jesus taught about a poor man named Lazarus and a rich man who lived sumptuously. He'd not denied anything, any kind of celebration, any kind of party, any kind of get-together. He could snap his fingers and bring his brothers together and all of their friends. Five of his brothers, rich and riotous living, not denied anything. Everything that they could desire. In contrast, Lazarus sat at their gate begging. Even the dogs coming and just licking his sores. What a sad, sad contrast. But death is a common denominator. Death is not denied, no matter how many riches and how much wealth that an individual has, cannot purchase one more minute. And so, the common denominator of death came to the poor man and came to the rich man. Now, here's where the story continues. Jesus let us know that the rich man learned to pray, but it was too late. The rich man requested of Abraham to send Lazarus, let him dip his finger in water, let him come and cool my tongue. The torment must have been horrendous for there to be a difference made by just a few drops of water, as Lazarus would dip his finger in that water and come and provide for that rich man. But the request was denied. So the rich man made another request, another prayer, another opportunity for him to ask for a change to come. This time he wanted Lazarus to go forth with a message to his five brothers. They're living the way I live. They didn't care about the poor or ministering to anybody. They simply wanted to enjoy their riches. And it would seem as though there was no end to what they could have and what they can request and what they can enjoy. They're living the way I lived. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. I don't want them to fall into this fire. Send Lazarus and let him warn them. Because surely if someone is resurrected from the dead, that would get their attention. That would help them to understand. Thank God there is one who resurrected from the dead. Thank God there is one that we celebrate today. Amen. There is Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And we lift up his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But again, their request was denied. And the word of God was elevated. And I think that's where we need to pay careful attention, that the word of God is even as powerful as a resurrection in terms of helping us to understand what we need to know from the word of God. And so Abraham denied the request, and the rich man did not have Lazarus to resurrect and go back to his five brothers. Because Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, he said, they have the word of God. Let them pay attention to that. Let them understand that the scriptures can have greater persuasion than a resurrection. Thank God for the power of the Lord and the blessings that can come forth. Amen. Because we know what the word of God declares. Praise God. Now, let's consider for a moment how fire can be a form of deliverance. Lot was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses encountered the burning bush, and the Lord told him, you're going to serve God upon this mountain. Amen. That was weeks away. That was a long time away yet. Amen. I'm thankful that God sees us serving him after deliverance. God sees us walking on with him. God sees us gaining ground with him. Praise God. And we can continue to serve him. The seventh plague that came upon Egypt and in the face of Pharaoh, the seventh plague involved thunder and hail and fire. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord used fire to bring about a deliverance. A pillar of cloud was there to lead the people of Israel during the day, but in the darkness there was a pillar of fire. Thank God the Lord can use fire to bring about the changes that he desires to show. And thank God he answers by fire. We saw how fire came, but also there were times of deliverance. Abraham's sacrifice. We won't take the time to go through each individual one, but you can take time to study it. In Genesis 15, God sent fire upon Abraham's sacrifice. And Leviticus 9, the sacrifice of the tabernacle of Moses and Aaron. In 1 Corinthians 18, Elijah's prayer and fire falling. David's sacrifice. In 1 Chronicles 21, God answers by fire. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon's prayer at the temple. God again answered by fire. And thank God on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there was a fulfillment of prophecy when the fire of God came down in a wonderful way. John the Baptist declared to those who heard him, I baptize you with water unto repentance. And thank God, what an important work that is. A work of repentance, a work of change, a work where there's an aspect of deliverance from the things of sin, stepping into the blessing that God has for us. A baptism of repentance. But John went on to say, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank God. There's a deliverance that the Lord puts in our lives. Amen. And the blessings that are there so powerfully, so wonderfully. Thank God. What an excitement. What a blessing. What a deliverance. What great things that God can put in our lives. Now, it's important to have the right tongues of fire. James 3 and 6 talks about how that the tongue can be a world of iniquity, and we don't want that. Amen. We want the power of God to be demonstrated in our lives and the strength that God is able to do and the blessings that the Lord's able to provide. Thank God that there can be a deliverance. The church must follow the fire. Born in a blaze of prayer and praise, thank God, and continuing on, even though our faith is tried by fire. Peter wrote about your faith, the trial of your faith. It's more precious than gold, and it's tried with fire, that it may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Peter would write from an experience that included being tried by fire in a number of ways. And he would warn, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Oh my, that's hard to do sometimes. In the face of a trial, in the face of a difficulty, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there, and we want to maintain what God has provided. Now there's a contrast in chapter 12 of Hebrews. And the writer wants to make sure we understand there's a Mount Sinai and there's a Mount Zion, and we've got to be identified in the correct one. In verse 18 of chapter 12, he begins to describe how that there was in Moses' time when the law was received at Mount Sinai. It was a terrifying time. the mountain should not be touched. It burned with fire. There was blackness and darkness and a tempest and a sound of a trumpet. It was dramatic. It was traumatic. And they were fearful. And Moses even declared there in verse 21, I exceedingly fear and quake. A difficult time at Mount Sinai with fire and fear. And this is where Deuteronomy 4:24 is quoted in Hebrews 12 and 29. God is a consuming fire. But thank God the description continues in verse 22 of the writer in Hebrews 12. Verse 22, there's a contrast. There's a comparison. Praise God. Thank the Lord. We're not under the old agreement, the old testament, the old covenant, but there's something new. There's something powerful. There's something wonderful. There's something liberating that we're able to understand in the word of the Lord. But you are come unto Mount Zion, praise God, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Thank God, there's a change that the Lord brings in our lives. There's a deliverance that He's provided. There's a difference that He makes. It continues on. There's a general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Thank God, the power of the Lord goes from this earth to bring us into the heavenly realm to help us to understand there's more that God has provided because Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Thank God there's something new, there's something powerful, there's something wonderful that the Lord has provided, and the blood of sprinkling, that sacrifice that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Remember, Abel was the second generation that understood and knew about sacrificing, and he did that. And then Abel, because of his righteousness, became a sacrifice himself. And thank the Lord, there's a better sacrifice that Jesus would offer, a delivering sacrifice of his blood and his name. Thank God for the power that is revealed, that the Lord would lift up his name above every name and impart that name to us in the waters of baptism. Thank God, and our sins being remitted and the power of the Lord showing forth through his name. Praise God. No wonder the writer said, we have a kingdom that is not going to be moved. It's not going to be one that is shaken and begin to disintegrate, begin to be destroyed, begin to fall apart. This tenet falls here. That principle disappears there. That value is no longer in place. Oh, no, that may happen in man's circumstances. That may happen in man's religion or government or whatever. But thank God there's a kingdom and a king that we serve. Hallelujah. It's not going to be moved. It's not going to fall. It's not going to disintegrate. Thank God. And so the writer said, all right, envelop yourself in grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The fullness of grace and truth. Thank God. And that's what we rejoice in today, in the power of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And serving God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, stepping into that realm of understanding by the word of the Lord. Not fear in the sense that we're crippled and we can't step forth and everything is a difficulty, everything is a hardship. No, a godly fear, a reverence and a respect for the things of God, and understanding He is there to minister. And let him consume every doubt. Let him consume every sin, every desire, every addiction, everything that would hold us back from serving him acceptably and with godly fear. Let him consume all of those aspects so that we could walk with him in liberty, in deliverance, in power, in understanding. Thank God to know his goodness to minister to us. Amen. And thank God we can maintain that fire of the Spirit. Romans 12 and 11 says, never lag in zeal. This is the Amplified Version. Never lag in zeal and an earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. serving the Lord. Praise God. On fire through the things of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. In the New International Version, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Praise God. It seems as though this summer there were a number of arsonists. There were a number of protests. There were a number of fires. There were a number of disturbances and destruction that went through the land. God, help us to be apostolic arsonists and understand that there is a fire that can burn. Praise God. That would show light. That would shed forth power. Praise God. And the glorious God that would desire to pour out His Spirit will fulfill His word again and again. Not a malicious burning, not a destructive burning. Amen. But thank God, a burning with purpose, a burning with power, a burning with desire for the things of God. Amen. And to show what the Lord is able to do as a devouring fire, a burning fire, who can make a change in people's lives for the better. Amen. Thank God that He can do that kind of work. Thank God that He can show that kind of power. Would you stand with me today? I'm so thankful that the promise of the Word of God is there, that there are things that can be shaken and will be shaken, but there are things that are going to remain because they cannot be shaken, and that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that we know is not going to be moved. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord for the fire that the Lord is able to send in confirmation of His word, a fire that delivers, a fire that assures, a fire that is powerful. Amen. And the fire of His Spirit in the Word of God. You know, that must have been an amazing occurrence. Here they are, those disciples. I don't know if the number fluctuated. I don't know if the number changed. We know the number is 120 that were blessed with the power of the Spirit of God coming among them. And they began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit of God gave them the power, gave them the utterance. And tongues of fire sat upon each of them. That's in fulfillment of what John the Baptist said was going to happen. One mightier than I, who is coming, and He will baptize you. Thank God the fulfillment of that was there. And then Peter stood up to preach. He stayed with the word of the Lord. He didn't come up with something different, something new. It's a new covenant, it's a new testament, but it's based on the word of God. And then he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love to read that word again, the account again, the power of the Lord again. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 never gets old. Amen. It never becomes, old news. Thank God it happened about 2,000 years ago, but it's still happening today. God's still pouring out His Spirit today. There's still the fire of the Spirit creating excitement, creating light, creating comfort, creating power. Thank God as we worship the Lord and know His power and His love. Let's just thank the Lord for His goodness to us today. Oh, we love You, Lord God. We praise You, Lord God. We